Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Amy.
Hey, Asia. I was thinking, you know, I'm just expecting a call every 2 weeks to talk about Married at First Sight, maybe a text every week just to check in on timing. Is that too much to ask?
You know, that is a little ambitious. I really don't know if I could commit to that. I would much prefer like in person.
A little challenging since we're, you know, a couple thousand miles away from each other. But, you know, I thought like we made this commitment to this podcast, this process.
Sure.
What do you think?
You know, what can you do? But, in person is much more preferred.
All right. What's your Sunday looking like for you? Is that basketball?
That, you know, basketball, but I heard you don't play, but I can teach you. So it'll still be fun. You know?
Yeah. I'll just do anything that you're interested in.
Oh, gosh, guys, what is going on with this show? Of course, that was the interaction between Paige and Chris this week. And it's just, I'm at the point where I wish they would have been gone a few episodes ago.
I think even Dr. Viviana was at that point. Yes. It's like, why are you here? Why are both of you here?
Like, why are you fighting for this? I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's racking my brain. Because, I mean, we've seen it in the past. We've seen seasons where, you know, like people break up at the honeymoon, you know, we had that one couple where she didn't like that he smoked. And so they were done. Mm-hmm. And then you had like last season where like Brett and Olivia were done pretty early on. So, hey, mm-hmm. We don't visit them. We're like maybe every other episode we check in, maybe see how they're doing, but we don't keep up with them every single episode.
Yeah. it's too much right now for sure.
Really is. And then I think back on like older seasons, there were seasons with three couples. So like,
They could do this. They have the framework.
Exactly. They were able. I think it's because they're trying to fill out this 2 hours. Like maybe I don't remember if it was always 2 hours, but they're like, OK, we have 2 hours to fill every single week. We have to show all five couples, whether America likes it or not.
Yeah. Whether we have the content or not.
Right. It's like, hey, Married at First Sight producers, don't waste our time. We are totally fine watching love stories develop and love happening. We don't have to see the drama. We don't have to see people forcing a situation that should not happen.
Yeah, we don't have to see them setting a timer to talk for 5 minutes. And it seems like you just play out that whole 5 minutes for us to sit there.
Exactly. Like if that isn't forced, I don't know what is. Oh, gosh. So, yes, everyone, we are going to we're going to dive into episodes 9 and 10. We're going to talk about everything that has happened and then, you know, just give our take on all of these different couples, these five couples that they insist on covering in detail every single week. Comparing to other seasons, where do you stand at this point? Now that we're at the halfway point, we know, or just over the halfway point, we only have about 4 weeks left until the end of the experiment. So how do you feel about this season just overall?
I feel like it's a lot less fun than last season. I feel like last season we had a mix of like the awkward, the cringy, and the like solid couples that were more fun, like the solid couples that we could root for, but still like be entertained by. So yeah, I think we had a really good balance of that last time. And this time it feels like even like the stronger couples, they're just not fun to watch as much.
Yeah.
So I'm probably most entertained maybe by Eric and Virginia, just because it's like they're kind of a solid couple, but then he gets on my nerves so much with like his demands. So I just like kind of get more invested in seeing like what he's going to say that's going to make me mad. And Vincent Brianna, I'm still rooting for, but I feel, and then I can kind of get annoyed at Vincent and like overreacting to things. Right. So, but yeah, there's just like Clara and Ryan. It's a little dull. I want more content from them. Chris and Paige, it's overdone at this point. It's needs to be over. And Jake and Haley just seems like there's nowhere to go from here. I feel like she's kind of, she's just putting up her walls completely and just kind of wants to look good on TV is my thought. So
yes,
she's just going through the motions, but not even kissing goodnight. So not so many motions.
Right. Yeah. It's so I would still say that like Vincent and Brianna are like, I still have a smile on my face when I see their pictures pop up, like we're about to cover them. But yes, it's hit or miss because you don't know if that's going to be a situation. So I know we're going to get into it, but I'm so glad they had this sit down with Dr. Viviana, because I think that was crucial to just put into words about what is going on with him. And even with Virginia and Eric, I don't know. I feel the same way as I feel the same way I feel about Ryan and Clara, where there's one party who's kind of, who is kind of being the barrier to them making progress, which in Ryan and Clara's case, I would say it's Ryan. And then in Virginia and Eric's case, I would actually say it's Virginia.
Okay.
Yes, Eric gets on my nerves with his demands. Like those have to go. Like if those were the only issue, I think that, you know, she can put her foot down. And explaining, hey, I don't like it when you talk to me this way. I don't like it when you make these demands. But I feel like anytime they make some progress, Virginia kind of has in the back of her head, like, yeah, well, we disagree on this. We disagree on this, which is totally understandable. But, you know, hey, maybe you should have been more upfront at the beginning and during the matchmaking process that was a deal breaker for you. So I don't know. And then, yeah, Haley and Jacob, they're just they're on a hamster wheel, just spinning. No progress is ever made. It's just two steps back every single time they get together, and then like half a step forward and then three steps back.
Yeah. It floored me when she was like, I'm doing all the work. And then they cut to her asking if he wants a drink and him saying no. And then her buying him some clothes that she liked.
Yes.
That's putting in all the work. Wasn't he the one bringing up conversations and like opening up about stuff?
I know that's what blew my mind when she said she was putting in all the work. I was thinking, oh, maybe she's been doing a lot more behind the scenes than we know. No, they show the two scenes we've already seen. Okay. Yes. Let's dive into each of these couples one by one. And we are going to start with Paige and Chris, because we do want to get into kind of some present day news about Paige and Chris. So if you don't want to know this news, skip forward a couple of minutes. And so I'll give you a second to do that. All right. So breaking news with Paige and Chris. So, Chris has just been getting a lot of flack on social media, as expected. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about how he is on this show, what people's perspective is of their situation. And so he posted on Facebook this very long post. It was on Instagram. I don't know. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But we did find out that on October 28th, Mercedes, who is his his ex-fiance who was pregnant. Mercedes had a miscarriage on October 28th. And so he was sharing their experience about, you know, rushing to the hospital and how he couldn't be in the room because of COVID and just how he felt about the situation. So what did you think about this and him sharing this?
Yeah, it's really sad. I think he was getting comments like, did they fake this? And so it's really heartbreaking that he has to come and share something personal to get people off of his back. I think people were speculating, like, people had like tracked Mercedes down in real life or something, and she didn't look pregnant or she was drinking. So I can see why, you know, I'm sure the show didn't want him to come forward with something right now, because that would be like reunion show material. But I could see why he, you know, wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it is really heartbreaking. And, you know, it is a very common thing. One statistic that he did share was that like 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. And so, you know, it does suck that he had to share this with everyone publicly. But, you know, my thoughts are with Mercedes and Chris for that situation. So, but my opinions about him on the show are just that, him right, on the show, his behavior. But we did want to get that out there that, you know, that that's the current state of that situation.
And I don't think he gave away anything about where he's at with Mercedes or Paige, really.
Yeah. He didn't share anything about the relationship. It was solely based on the pregnancy. So with that being said, we'll move forward. And all of our opinions are just simply about Chris's behavior on the show, not about, you know, him as a person outside of the show, but just what we see in front of our eyes, what is edited for us. So the fact that we even have content for Paige and Chris blows my mind, because as you know, the last episode that we covered on our last podcast, it ended with Mercedes and Paige. Mercedes is the ex-fiance. Mercedes, Paige and Chris having a conversation where Chris storms out because he thinks he's being disrespected by Paige. And it was a very unnecessary conversation to have. and we left off at that. So it's like, what more needs to be said at this point?
Yeah, I thought she, you know, said she was done. She, you know, had her closure and sort of like, I'm going to keep out of it now, you know?
Right. Exactly. But we do continue to have content. So Paige meets with Chris's friend who is a pastor. I did see another social media post from Chris saying like that the pastor is not his friend
anymore.
He's like, I don't talk to him. He, you know, he's not somebody I trust anymore. And so
did probably you think that was really out of the line that the pastor reached out? I mean, he married both of them.
No. Yeah, it was totally in bounds. I believe, I think it, you know, Chris was mad because it was like, oh, this is my friend. He was there for me. It's like, no, he wasn't one of your groomsmen. He was the officiant who should be in that at that point a neutral party. Their interest is the couple. And he had it in his mind like, no, this is my friend.
Yeah. So, let me just check in on how you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So he reached out to Paige to meet up, and he said he loves Chris like a brother, and he doesn't think that Chris was fully prepared for this. And he thought that because of how Chris is, he thought this experiment would be the best situation for Chris, that would have the highest likelihood of like working out for him, because, you know, these are experts who are matching him based off what he needs. And so he's sharing this, and he said he met him when he was engaged years before or years ago, and Paige was shocked by that. She did not know that not only did he have the engagement that was in 2020, he also had another engagement, which we knew, the audience knew. But of course, Chris had never shared that with her, that he had another engagement. And so then this is also when Paige says that she doesn't feel like Mercedes is pregnant because she hasn't seen any evidence of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's like, why did the show think that this is a person ready to commit to someone they don't know when they've had broken engagements with people that they knew and, you know, thought they wanted to get married to. So, and then another thing I'll say about that pastor, I'm sure he was encouraged by producers like, well, why don't you reach out to Paige? Well, you know, we'll film it kind of thing because they need content with her. If she's not with Chris, they need to kind of just show what's going on and you can't just sit in the apartment. So
Ryan talked to her dog. I do it.
Totally. Do you use it as your password for everything?
Right. Not that I would tell all of America.
Why did they air that? Side note, like,
Side note, Virginia shared that her dog's name is her password for literally everything. And I'm like, Virginia, no, we know Rocky at this point. Like, why would you tell us that?
And I mean, that's why, like, I don't know. That's just like one of the most common guesses that people have. And that's why you're not supposed to like share your quote unquote porn name or all those things that memes that go around. Cause it's always like your pet's name
and your street address.
Or it's like, if you forget your login to your bank, it's like, what's your pet's name? So don't make it your password too.
Exactly.
Without any numbers or symbols, at least Eric was like, well, it's in there. It's a part of the string, but not just like my password for every single thing.
Right. I'm like, are you forgetting the cameras? Like, this is a thing.
Don't
like,
they have leaked it too, at least.
Right. So soon we're going to be hearing about Virginia being hacked.
Yeah.
And she's going to have no idea how that happened. Right.
So I thought it was good that they had that conversation. I didn't think it was really violating Chris in any way. Maybe it's more like, I think he was upset that, you know, the pastor probably assumed that she knew these things about him already. And it's sort of like getting caught in like, oh, like someone found out my lie, you know, or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he was just annoyed about that.
Right. Yeah. Chris. Chris was not happy that the pastor decided to meet up with Paige. And to your point about like, how did they let this, like, why would they cast someone like this to be married, especially when people closest to him know that he wasn't prepared for marriage? I did hear an interview with Dr. Viviana. She was on The Bald and the Beautiful. It was on YouTube, but now it's a podcast that's hosted by Kev on Stage. That's his Instagram name on, and along with his wife and then another couple. And so they interviewed Dr. Viviana, and I was driving when I listened to it. So I didn't take any notes, but my main takeaways was that Dr. Viviana was just as flabbergasted as we are. Uh-huh. But the bigger thing for her is that she feels like he got one over on her, because she's like, the man that they interviewed is not the man that stepped into that marriage. So she almost feels worse than we do, because she feels like she got because she truly thought, she said he was like, he was the front runner, or like, not maybe not the front runner, but he was one of their top people that they knew that they wanted to match. And so she just feels like she was totally blind. She was totally blindsided when this happened. And of course, now that the season has ended and she's had time to process and things, and now we're just finding out these things. So she's having to like relive it. So she's like, just so you know, he was not this guy when we interviewed him, when we had all these meetings with him. As I expected, he just interviews well.
Okay. I could see that. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that really was the main thing. Like, she, you know, she was giving little tidbits here and there. So it's worth a listen. But really the main takeaway is that, she, you know, her being feeling like she got, which is understandable. Because
I think they really need to incorporate, like, they have to interview like one family member, one friend, or, you know, one employer or something, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Kind of reference check.
Yeah. And even exes, like, I think exes should be fair game, because this is someone you were in a committed relationship with that can share some perspective. You know, this is marriage. This isn't just, 90 day, the single life.
Right.
So, but yeah, so also on this episode, we get a conversation between Chris and Paige. So Chris asked to meet up with Paige. Once again, I'm thinking, what do you have to say to her? And so he just comes, he always does this thing where he enters the scene just smiling. And it's not like, oh, I'm a happy, jovial person. It's like, I'm immature and I'm smiling because I don't know where else to look or what else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can picture the look right now.
Yes. And so he just, like, he acts like as if, you know, him and Paige didn't have this blow up of a conversation. And he's just like, oh, what are you drinking? And he points out that she's smiling today. And because he's like, you were mad at me. And he was like, I know you've had some time to talk to some people. And so at this point, he's like referencing the pastor talking to Paige, and Paige is just kind of gave a face like, oh, and he's like, oh, yeah. As if like he caught her. Like, no, of course you were going to find out, whether it was now or when the episode aired. Of course, you knew you were going to find out. And, you know, Paige just confirmed that he reached out to her. And Chris was, of course, like we said earlier, was just mad that he reached out to her because he was on her side. He was in his wedding party, not hers. And Paige, rightfully so, asks, why am I here? And Chris says he doesn't have any new revelations. And she's like, OK, well, she tells us, like, okay, well, you know, he's wasting my time and it's pissing her off. And so she gets up to leave to talk to the producers, and they're like, well, like, you know, tell him you don't like your time being wasted. And she comes back and she tells him that, and he's like, He just explains that he's like had his guards up around everyone, and his main thing is he's afraid someone else will raise his kid, and he's afraid he's making the wrong decision by trying to make the right decision, and by saying, like, he's thinking, okay, if I go back to my ex to raise my child, maybe I'm making the wrong decision, even though I think that's the right decision, which is manipulating Paige to believe that he wants to be with her. What do you think about, like, how he was trying to explain that logic?
Yeah, definitely a circular logic. I'm just trying to understand the motivations here. Is it just to keep, like, looking good on the show, keep his, profile up or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's simply to continue to have Paige as an option. Like, as we heard, Mercedes is like, she doesn't have it. Getting back with him is not something she wants to do right now. So he's like, okay, well, I want to be with Mercedes, but if that doesn't work,
Paige here. He wasn't expecting her to kind of shut him down. Wasn't expecting Mercedes to, like, sort of be on Paige's side. And so it's like, wait, I might have nobody. So, yeah,
exactly. It's just like typical F-boy mentality, like not caring about the other person. He's so self-interested that he doesn't see that he is truly, like, emotionally damaging Paige throughout this process, because he's just looking. Oh, he's only looking out for himself. He tells her, like, you know, you don't deserve this. You shouldn't be an option. And he asked, like, what does she want? And she's like, she wanted him to give them a chance. And Chris says they need a reset. And Paige is like, yeah, we do need a reset button. So can we start over? I'm Paige.
This part was like, oh, this is just like a forced rom-com, like. No, like, I don't want this.
I know.
You've been through too much. It's just not like you just can't have this cute little, like, let's just have a reset. No.
Yes. After everything y'all have been through, like, y'all have literally raised my blood pressure every single episode. Yeah. And now you want to read? I can't start over. So there's no way y'all can. It blows my mind that that's even an option for her. And we get into it episode 10 because they sit down with Dr. Viviana when she visits all the couples. So episode 10, she visits every couple and they have a sit down and talk. And Paige didn't even know if he was going to show up. And one thing that kind of confused me here was Paige said she hadn't heard from him since they had that conversation about the reset. Mm-hmm. But then when Chris showed up, he said, oh, you know, our conversation yesterday. So I'm like, is he trying to put one over on us and make us think that was yesterday? Or was Paige just saying like, oh, I haven't heard from him since yesterday?
Yeah, that threw me too, because I thought it made it seem like it's been another week and they haven't heard from him. He hasn't contacted her. And mm-hmm. It could be that it was only a day. I don't know that they would leave it in if it wasn't true. The yesterday part, but maybe it's just like, okay, I didn't get a text from him when he got home. I didn't get a text in the morning, like, mm-hmm, see you soon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like expecting at least a daily phone call. So.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. That makes more sense. So we do see Dr. Viviana. Dr. Viviana was she was a lot more honest than Pastor Cal about the fact that she was updated on the situation. So each of the couples, she did say like, okay, I'm caught up. So where are we now? So she knows where they are in this situation. So she's like, okay, so where can there be improvement with this? And Dr. Viviana straight up with Chris is like, I feel like I don't know. I hardly know who you are because you're not the person we interviewed. Mm-hmm. And Chris claims that like pre-wedding Chris was who he is since 1992 when he was born. But post-wedding Chris was in a depressive state because he found out about the pregnancy. Mm. And it's just like, so all of a sudden you're acting outside of yourself for the first time in your life.
And he was acting different at the wedding too. So it's like implying I'm depressed because I'm not attracted to my wife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he like he has said he has said that he felt stuck because he wasn't attracted to her. It's like he thinks we're just going to forget that was his thing before he found out about the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Viviana, she was asking Paige, like, why stay in this marriage? And Paige said God intended her to be a supportive wife. And I
but he didn't say stick with the first husband you get, even if he's a total jerk.
Exactly. He didn't say go through this emotional turmoil no matter what. She's just like, she's applying like correct like marriage principles to the wrong marriage. Mm-hmm. And she does not realize that. It's like you can't make marriage with anyone work. Like you can't just, I'm picking a person out of thin air and they have some qualities that, you know, these experts are saying that will work and we're just going to make it work no matter what happens. Because this man continues to give her reasons to leave this marriage. He has straight up said, I have talked to a divorce attorney, but she wants to be a supportive wife. I don't get it. So they talk about like what she wants, basically what Paige wants. And she just wants a normal phone conversation at least once a day. And Dr. Viviana was like, look, that's not much to ask. And yeah. Chris thinks he's like, I don't want to feel pressured. And that feels forced. You know why it feels forced, Chris? Because you should be living with her.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, can't you just live out? Do you notice that when like she knocked on the door, he's like, this is your place. Like,
yes,
so you go and get the door, like, mm-hmm.
It blows my mind.
I still don't think that they should allow, like, I think they should cut, unless someone's like violent, like there's some reason to kick them off the show completely. I think they should, they should kick someone off the show if they're not committing to living in the same, because they're two bedroom places.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the experiment. It's like you go on Big Brother, you're living in a house with other people. Like you have to say, like, I'm going to be in this house for this amount of time. And, you know, you don't have to sleep in the same bed with them. And, but I think like with Zach and Mindy, it's like they shouldn't have allowed him to continue to do that and still get his exposure that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
If he couldn't do the bare minimum of just being on set, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And in set and being on set is that apartment. And that's such a good point. Like on Big Brother, you don't just get to say, oh, I don't get along with that person. I'm going to go stay with production this week. Like, could you imagine, like, on Survivor, someone's like, I don't want to stay on this island because so-and-so gets on my nerves. So I'm just going to stay with Jeff for a few days.
Yeah.
It needs to be in their contract that as part of the situation. Like, you are committing to staying in the same apartment. They can't force them to kiss. They can't force them to be physical. They can't force them to have chemistry. But you at least have to be in an environment so that those things can happen.
Yeah. And I think like that gives them more content to work with too, because so you think that the show would want that instead of just like pulling teeth to be like, okay, are you going to move next week? It's not good TV to just watch like the wife, because it's been the wife so far that it hasn't moved, that moves in and the husbands haven't, but to just be like, well, he's still not here this week, or like maybe this is the week, you know?
Right. Exactly. Just you're so right. That would be so much better for production to have a situation where they have more things to film. They don't have to make up things like the officiant coming to have a conversation with the bride. We also see that, like, the main thing is that Chris, he wants to meet in person. So he's saying, like, that would be much better for him, like, meet up to go on walks. But a phone call or a text a day is forced. And Paige says she feels like she's in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, of course, trying to deflect. He's just like, you know, everything I do, I have to be passionate about it. And my heart just isn't 100% in this. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, someone who is only watching the previews for the season could tell you that. We know that. We're well aware. You're not trying. You're giving no effort.
But the whole point of the show is you're supposed to be like excited about the idea to get married, but you have to be like committed to like seeing it through and putting the work in. Like, they always screen and ask, like, well, what if you're not attracted? Or what if you have this kind of conflict? What if there is this kind of difference? Or, you know,
So
that's the whole point. I think that's what Dr. Viviana was trying to say. It's like, you can't just get passionate about every single thing you do. Like, I'm not passionate about filing taxes, but you have to do it.
Exactly. And marriages are going to be hard sometimes. And that doesn't mean you walk away from it. Like, it's ridiculous. And the whole, I felt for Dr. Viviana, because she, this was probably a situation where in real life she would tell this couple, look, this is a wrap. Y'all need to call it quits. But, you know, there was nowhere to go for her to give advice to make things better. And so we just ended with Paige being confused about what they're even doing.
Yeah.
Which is how we end every season, every scene with them.
Yeah, and then his schedule, it's like he's just like couldn't like find any time to do anything, and he couldn't meet in the middle on any kind of activity. It's just his way or the highway.
Yeah. So they meet up to discuss like doing, or I guess this is kind of after Dr. Viviana left. They talk about, let's do an activity. So simple, you know, Netflix and chill. You can go to the store. You can do anything, especially with the fact that, I mean, Atlanta acts like COVID doesn't live there. I mean, we've hardly seen any sign of a pandemic in Atlanta, even to this day, like with the NBA All-Star weekend, like it was so many people there.
Oh, really?
From social media, I was like, what? This looks like any normal year.
Yeah.
Clubs were open, everything. So they have things open to them and options available. So Paige like asked about Thursday and he says he's free after 8 because he has something to do. Why can't he just disclose what he has to do? Like, he's so secretive and so private with his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we find out later, like with his reveal at the end of the episode, like, maybe what he's been busy doing. And so
exactly. So Paige suggests a movie. He doesn't want to do a movie. Chris suggests playing basketball and Paige's like, I don't know how, but you know, that would be fun. He's like, I can teach you. And Paige then they finally agree on, okay, Sunday he's going to bring over some food, and Paige is like, okay, we can play cards. He's like, oh, I don't play cards. No, I don't play cards. You can lead Bible study. It's like, what? Are you serious? It's like, you can't be two people at this exact same time. Like, he's trying to be this guy that he wants to come off as America to, like this holy man who just has God at the center of his life. And that's how he acts accordingly. But then his actions are so opposite with Paige, and just how he is just constantly dismissive to her desires of just simple communication. But that's what he suggests. He suggests that she lead Bible study.
It's like, okay, thanks. Like, I suggest a movie. No, no movies.
Right.
I suggest like these other things. Nope, not going to do that. Why don't I just give you an assignment instead?
Right.
Couldn't they attend like an online Bible study together? Not like you lead me. It's like he's like trying to just like have her fulfill another purpose in his life. Like, okay, I'm not attracted to her, but I'll just outsource this to her now.
Right. Exactly. Just giving her a job to do. So to lead a Bible study, you're asking her to prepare material beforehand. Like, you're not asking to have any type of like entertainment between the two of you. You have not done anything relatively close to having fun in the past, you know, 24 days of marriage. Mm-hmm. And not that Bible study can't be fun, but I'm sorry, Bible study is only going to be fun when I'm doing it with someone that I enjoy being around, not this guy that I barely know. I just learned that he had a second engagement he never told me about. I can't even know what he's doing on Thursday before 8. Like, we need to start from ground zero and learn about each other.
Yeah.
Crazy. So he does come over with food. He brings some chicken that's well known in Chicago, Harold's Chicken. And then he asks, once again, requesting something of her. She's already giving so much by trying in this marriage. And he asks her to bless the food. She's like, you always ask me to bless the food. And he's like, bless the food. Like, he's the worst.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, Paige asks like, okay, so like, you know, what are we going to do? And he's like, oh, you know, I thought there was supposed to be a Bible study. And she's like, oh, what do you have prepared? He's like, nothing. I thought you were going to do it. And so she's annoyed with us, but then goes to get her Bible so she can lead a Bible study, an impromptu Bible study. I have come to the conclusion that I can't want more for Paige than what she wants for herself. I cannot.
Just have to, protect yourself in this now.
Exactly. I have to protect my own peace because I just want this woman to find happiness. And she is restricting her own self because she is staying in the situation with this man.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this Bible study where they talk about friendship, what friendship looks like in a biblical context. And Paige is so happy about it because she's taking notes while he's talking. And she said she felt like that was a great reset for their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's picking at straws. She's just.
Yeah, this is so like slow going, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure like the friendship angle. Did she mean like, okay, because we're going to work on our friendship? I was a little confused by that. Like, are we just going to be friends from here on out? That would almost make more sense to me. It's just not going to be a romantic scenario.
Yeah. And of course, they didn't make that clear. They didn't say like, okay, then we need to start as friends and at least have a friendship before we can even think about anything physical. For all we know, anytime he comes over, they're still sleeping together. We don't know. Very well be happening. And we find that out on decision day. And they're like, well, yeah, we every day, even days when we didn't talk, he would come over.
Yeah.
So they somehow the baby comes up and Chris is like, okay, speaking of the baby, I do have something to tell you. So this is after having this, you know, life-changing Bible study that Paige is very happy about. So he starts out with the story. 6 years ago, Mercedes got in a bad car accident. So she's been using ride sharing. And so I wanted to make sure that she has transportation. As he's saying this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he is about to ask Paige to start driving Mercedes around. Like literally that's what crossed my mind. But it's almost a little bit worse. He says he has bought Mercedes a brand new Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
So Mercedes can get a Mercedes, but Paige cannot get a Paige.
I didn't even put that together that he got her a Mercedes. They can't be on the same page. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, she's asking for a phone call. She's asking for a text message, email. Do we need to go back to the 90s with pagers? Yeah. And get her, like, can he at least do that? Just send her like a, hey, I'm thinking about you. Call me. I know all that can't fit on a pager, but just something, a letter. She's asking for the simplest thing.
I love how he's like, so as my wife, I thought I should let you know that I did that instead of like, yeah. I thought I should maybe discuss this with you before like I use this expense.
But remember, he thinks, you know, his money is his money and her money is her money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in sharing. So it's coming full circle.
Yeah, that seems like kind of like a let me buy this present for you to keep you happy, to tide you over while I just like continue doing the show. But you all know mm-hmm. we're going to get back together. And yeah,
exactly.
This is going to be my car, too, basically. Like, there's no way he's just buying that for her to drive mm-hmm. his kid around.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, that's our car. You can use it. I literally just have 4 weeks left. Give me 4 weeks and then I will be moving back. I'll move in with, well, for all we know, he lives with her now. We don't even know because mm-hmm. he's not living with Paige. And yeah, that's right. He's just trying to tie her over until this show is done, wrapped up, and he never has to talk to Paige again.
Yeah.
It's so sad. But Paige's biggest drawback is that she's surprised that it's brand new. And he's like, why wouldn't it be? My queen or king that's coming into this world needs a chariot. And I'm like, that's not funny. Get out of here. I'm not laughing. I'm not entertained.
No.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, so that was all the content we got for them. That was it. But no, that was all we got from them for these two episodes. But then we do see like on the preview for the rest of the season. I think they put that out on social media. I don't watch Lifetime regularly to just see commercials. So maybe it aired there. But I do see them on a couch on decision day.
Okay.
So
no, they usually have, don't they make all couples come back even if they broke up earlier? Like, didn't Olivia and Brett come back on decision day to just be like, hey,
yeah,
interesting seeing you again. Like, yep, we're good with that decision we made, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So
true. Okay. Okay. That makes me feel better. I don't feel as don't feel as heartbroken that they lasted that long. So maybe we won't get as much from them in the coming weeks. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap them up, we do need to rate them. So I thought it would be fun to revisit what we first rated them at the very beginning. So we gave them a one.
Mm-hmm.
So from a 1 to 5, 1 being they are going to break up, 5 being they are going to stay together and have a great marriage. Where do you rate them?
That's a lot of 1.
Yeah, okay. Solid, very consistent. It's a very consistent feeling towards this marriage.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going to stay a 1. I don't care what he does. I don't care how hard Paige tries, because it's all, like I said, he's always bringing up things. If it's not, he loves it, he's still in love with his ex. If it's not, hey, I want you to meet my ex. Oh, like when the expert is saying you're a great person, I want to bring up how great of a person my ex also is. The fact that, you know, she is pregnant at that point. The fact that, you know, he's saying, oh, I've just brought her a brand new Mercedes Benz. That's not a Kia, you know?
Yeah.
That's a high priced item.
Yeah. It also felt like he was just trying to like that was a flex too. Like, this mm-hmm. guy make my, you know, 6 figures or whatever.
Right, exactly, because he's proud of the fact that he makes more than Paige. So yeah, this couple, I'm so ready to be done with them. I would take none of them and maybe more of Ryan and Clara.
Yeah,
you know, let's sacrifice some of these. Let's sacrifice a little bit of Haley and Jacob time so we can get a little bit more Virginia and Eric, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So which couple do you want to dive into next?
Since we started with Chris and Paige, let's do Haley and Jacob. Let's kind of start with like the rough ones.
Okay. Yes, very, very rough. So on episode 9, like really the overarching thing with episode 9 was, you know, so Paige and Chris are the outlier because they don't really get the normal treatment because it's such a weird story. But with episode 9, they gave each couple a card with some like prompting questions to get some conversations going. So just to bring it up, and then episode 10 was Dr. Viviana's visit. So episode 9, we did get a scene where Lauren, so Haley's like friend that we have continued to see that gives good advice, Lauren, she was at Haley's place, and Lauren said after the housewarming she feels like she understands Jacob a little bit more. Acted as if she was physically attractive to him, and yeah, I mean, it basically was a conversation where Lauren is kind of understanding Jacob and she's trying to see, Haley, what's going on? Where are you?
I know. It's strange. It took me back to Paige talking about like how she just felt like she had to, you know, have sex with her husband because that's what mm-hmm. they do. And it's like, so I can't put, you know, like, I feel like that's really unfortunate. She just felt like, okay, I have to do this. It didn't seem like she felt pressured in any way, like from him. It was just like, okay, I'm going to just go with the flow. But part of me wonders, like, is she rewriting it a little bit because she like was turned off by him either mm-hmm. from that or later on how he behaved or.
Yeah. 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 I think it's revisionist history mm-hmm. because even Lauren asked her, you know, are you physically attracted to him? And she's like, she didn't know right now. I was like, what? How is that an answer? No, just be honest.
Yeah.
Either you're not or you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of ways to answer. You could say like, well, he's not my type, like
mm-hmm.
something like, but there's potential there or like, I don't see that there's any potential. Like, I'm really turned off by how he looks or something. You know, it could be one or the other, but I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Or like, I'm really attracted. Like, if he didn't have his personality, I would think he's attractive. You know, like, there's some answer, but she's not giving an answer. You can't say you don't know.
It goes back to what you said earlier, that she just wants, she's really worried about her image on camera. Mm-hmm. And she would be so much happier if she was just honest with us and with herself. Mm-hmm. That he's not her type. She's not attracted to him. She could grow an attraction, which is what she's trying. It seems like she wants to try to do, but I don't know if she's truly trying.
Yeah, I get more the sense that it's like she wants to want to, or something. Like, she wants to, because like, that's what the good people on the show do. Like, they don't quit, you know, and like, I don't want people on social media to get mad at me. Like, I want to show that, like, I'm like, I know this is a marriage, you know. She did say later, like, if it were just dating, I would have definitely been out by now. So like, I think she is just seeing like, there's nothing that he's like, there's a point where he was like way out of line with her. So I could see, like, if she was just like, I can't get over, like, the way he didn't trust me and the way he was talking, like, kind of dismissive of me, and I'm completely turned off. Like, there are ways, like, to have an out there. But then the fact that he's, like, turned things around and apologized many times, it sounds like, and is, like, receptive to things that she's been doing, buying the clothes for him and stuff. I think she doesn't have an excuse now to leave, and that would make her look good. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So like, as you said, she bought him some clothes, which is, and kind of, so it's an odd just gesture for where they are. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be different if it was Brianna buying Vincent some clothes. Like, she knows him, she knows his style. Like, she thought she saw something and thought it was cute for him. Whereas Haley is trying to, like, get that 80s wardrobe out of there. So she buys him some clothes and has him do a fashion show. And so that was, you know, that was interesting. I don't know
it's
if it necessarily
was
fun.
Gift. Like, it's sort of like, okay, it's nice because, like, she spent some money. Like, she didn't just get, like, one shirt. Like, she gave him, like, a new wardrobe for at least, like, shirts and some jeans.
Right.
And he said he had never had, which I thought that was weird. Like, he never had anyone, like, just buy him clothes ever, like, except for, like, Christmas or something, or birthday. Yeah. So, because I think usually, like, in a relationship, like, if somebody's into shopping, they'll be like, oh, like, let me get something for my man, you know, like, too. Like,
yeah.
And like, oh, this will look good on him or whatever. Or let's go shopping together and, like, we'll pick stuff out. But he, like, went with it, and he did look better in those clothes. Like, I think I noticed, like, in this episode this week, too, that it might have been a newer shirt. I was like, oh, that looks like a better style for him.
Right.
It's maybe like, it could have been like, why don't we go shopping together? Or like, let's go through your closet and I'll just.
Like, let's try to like, maybe redo the way you do some of your clothes. Cause he, you know, he always does the belt with the big buckle and tucked in into the front. Like, maybe she could just help restyle some of his existing clothes.
Yeah.
But it's like hey, I've already told you I'm not that attracted to you. So here are some clothes. Maybe this will help. It's just a very weird gift. But Jacob was like, you know, since we're in good spirits, let's have an important conversation. So he brings up the issue of physical attraction. And he said, like, do you think we're going to develop any type of relationship beyond a friendship? She's just said it's very frustrating for her. they bring up like her leaving to go see Paige and how he wanted her to come home, and she ended up like spending the night with Paige, and she was like, she can't read his mind, and she's thinking like he keeps assuming things like, oh, you know, that she would contact him to say that she was going to come home. But then it turns out, you know, she did text him that she was going to stay, but he didn't see it and she forgot she sent it. It was very like confusing situation. But Jacob does say that, you know, after not, he thinks after not being in a relationship for so long that she's not ready for this. And she's like, I can't just all of a sudden jump into this and like be in love, be in love with you. And he's like, if she wants a friend out of this, then be divorced. And or like he tells her, like, look, if you want a friendship, then let's just keep doing what we're doing and then we can get divorced. But I think he's not liking the fact that he feels kind of strung along, because it seems like once again, another couple that a couple steps forward, then a few steps backwards, because she can't get over what the real issue is.
Right. Did you think like, I mean, did you agree with him? Like, cause he was so, like he was sort of like all or nothing thinking, like, well, if you're not attracted to me, then we can't go anywhere from here.
Yeah, I think so. The first couple that comes to mind is Jamie and Doug. Like, yeah. I think attraction can grow. I don't think it's a total deal breaker. I think the problem, though, is even the more she finds out about him, that's not helping her attraction. Like, she's not liking these other things that she hears.
So, yeah, whereas Jamie was like, oh, like he's got a great family. He's so kind and patient with me. And like everything kind of built towards, for the most part, like more positive feelings.
Yeah.
And yeah. And also, Doug didn't take it personally that she wasn't attracted. He was like, yeah, like I believe that it'll grow, instead of being like, okay, if you don't, you're not attracted right now, we're done. You
know? Right.
So
right.
They're both like kind of hitting like, against a wall here.
Yeah.
And I think like his ego is kind of coming into play, that like,
for sure,
he's hurt that, you know, they were intimate before, I think. And then that's cut off, and that, you know, he'll always go back to, well, like for 4 days I had the, you know, witch Haley was real, you know, like we were like doing well at that point and you were attracted to me. And then she's saying like, that wasn't real.
Exactly. It just, I think it's if Jake was with a different woman who did have more in common with him, I think that the issue of attraction could be resolved over time. She'll grow an attraction and realize, look, I've grown in my attraction for him. But I think the fact that they are so different in every possible way, it's not, it's like, okay, opposites attract, but no, not oil and water. So yeah, they're in a tough spot. And I think this is also another couple that just needs to hang it up. Yeah. So the card that they got, one of the questions was, what will make you guys fall in love? And Haley was like, this is it, throwing the love word around, the L word around right now is a lot. And Jacob says he doesn't have any love for Haley right now because they're not getting along. And another question they had was, have you ever been in love before? And Jacob has, and he says like being in love to him, like means thinking about someone else's needs before your own. And he also brings up like, he's never been an actions guy, like giving flowers.
It's kind of similar to Eric, where it's just like, he's sort of like, I don't do this and I never will change.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Like, what's so hard about like, if it's important to someone to get flowers, like some people don't care about that, but like you could be just cutting her off just with a statement like that, because maybe that's like her love language or something. And wouldn't,
exactly.
Yeah. Like you could say like, that's just hasn't been big in my past relationships, but I'm open to doing that if that's something you like, or.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, yeah, that's not coming off as a positive to her. Like everything he says is just like another strike. Yeah. Like if she had a burn book, it would be, his page would be full. we do find out that, you know, she had, her and her ex dated on and off for 5 years. And she talked about how like she usually shuts down after one red flag. And, And Jacob thinks that she was in love in that relationship because she seems so deeply wounded from it.
And so I think wasn't that kind of over the line to just sort of say, like, well, since you're so affected by that relationship from when you were 21, like, obviously you were in love. Like, it's just kind of a dig at her. Like, you're still wounded when you're 28 now. And that's why you can't be, like, basically implying, like, that's why you're not connecting with me.
Yeah. It's so... Like, they are not in a place where he can just be saying things like that to her and not expect her to have her, like, guard up.
Yeah.
And she already has it up. Like, what? I mean, how many more guards need to be up? Because there's just no breaking in. But I just don't know where they go from here. Like, I honestly don't know if it's her loosening up or if it's him. I mean, he's almost 40, but did he just turn 39 and will be 40 soon. So he seems like a guy who is pretty set in his ways. So is it her that needs to bend a little bit more or what?
Right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But they do. Jacob does want to try, and he throws a pool party at his house. And she did ice him, so that was funny because Clara iced on their wedding day.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the couples come over.
I thought that was cool. Like, it put, like, he was so excited about his home, you know, and then it was like, oh, this is a cool hangout spot.
Yeah.
So it's usually you don't see. On the seasons, like, people going back, usually it's a bad thing if people are going back to their place. But in this instance, it's like they've had dates, you know, Eric and Virginia have gone back to his place. So it's like they're incorporating it more. And so I thought this was kind of fun that, like, everybody has to see this house, you know, because, you know, she's like, has to give the tour of, like, this epic house.
Yes. So it was nice. And we did get, like, some, like, mini updates about the different couples because Eric and Virginia arrived. Brianna came without Vincent because Vincent couldn't make it. And then Clara and Ryan arrived and Paige came by herself.
It's like the second time that Brianna's gone somewhere and Vincent couldn't go, right?
Yeah, that was what was the other thing?
She was like Clara's friend, like filling in for like the friends or something.
Oh, yeah. And then she was like, okay, I gotta go because I have to get back to my husband.
Yeah, maybe it was just like I have to get back to him. So
yeah. Yeah, so that was interesting. And to Paige, we hear from her that her marriage is done. But the other wives are like her sisters, so she's continuing to be involved. I'm like, Paige, I don't want to hear it. Your marriage is not done. You don't believe it's done. You're saying what you think we want to hear. It's what we know. That's how we feel. But we know you want to stay in this. So stop feeding us that.
Right.
I'm trying to see, like, you know, we can come back to the pool party for the different couples. But for Haley and Jacob. Haley says that, you know, she tells Virginia, like, she's not fully attracted to him right now, which we're well aware of. But that's pretty much it. Like, Jake gives a tour to the guys around the house. And I thought it was funny that Eric was yawning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not interested. But
they're all impressed with, like, the size of his house.
Yeah. Like, it keeps going and going. I just thought it was ironic that Jake was showing this, like, exciting house to, like, Ryan. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then Eric, you know, he's not, you know, this adventurous guy.
Right. So.
Maybe Vincent would have been really interested in it.
I know. I think so.
Yeah. But then, so another thing we got from them was they went to lunch, and this is very odd. So Haley got this soft shell crab sandwich, and she said, or she wanted to order soft shell crab, and she tells a story that it gave her hives on half of her body in Australia. So she doesn't, like, because it was only half her body, she doesn't know if she's actually allergic. So she's going to roll the dice and order it again. Like, maybe she is similar to Jacob, because that sounds like the type of stuff he would do.
Right. Sounds worrisome. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, who just rolls the dice with allergies, especially mm-hmm. if you had highs? So that was weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing really substantial from this conversation. It just seems like Haley is kind of loosening up a little bit at that point. And they agreed that bowling would be fun for them to do. So it's so funny when these people have to like struggle for activities. Like, what would be something you would enjoy and I would enjoy? And we would have a good time. And maybe things would get better. It's like they're making picking an event to do, like normal things you do to hang out, like a chore. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. So let's see. That was it for episode 9. For episode 10, we did see Jacob and Haley's visit with Dr. Viviana. Mm-hmm. And Haley said there were lots of ups and downs. They argue every 2 days.
It's not a good sign when it's like, oh, it's been a good week. We didn't fight the last 2 days.
Right. Or, yeah.
We didn't fight today.
Yes. Hey, hey. Yes. And Dr. Viviana broke the ice and said, well, I've heard that y'all are in a non-romantic friend zone.
And she really made a point. I wonder if it was more almost like, it seemed like she was kind of stressing that, like, we know what's up. Like, mm-hmm. we're informed. Like, we're keeping tabs, because it is like they're not there. They aren't.
Right.
You would think if they were really being up to date, they would be intervening earlier, but I think it's like,
yes,
she shows up, gets her hair and makeup done, and then the producer are filling her in.
Yeah,
on the rundown.
Yeah, exactly. It's very. It's,
I don't know that they're updated like every week in real time. Like, they're definitely right. Not on call.
Exactly. Like, I can't remember who it was that said, "Doctor." They were like, "Dr. Viviana's in Atlanta, so." Like, it was like I flew in to do this trip, because she actually lives in Houston, or that's where her practice is. I don't know if she lives here or not, but, you know, it's very much so, hey, I'm coming in to do my shoot and then I'm going back to where I reside.
Right.
But it should be like, hey, this is a 2 month thing. Maybe this is something you should commit to. Like, maybe they need the experts to be there. But I stand by what I said, that other couples should be the ones chiming in. Mm-hmm. Like, they have, I mean, the last Atlanta season, I don't think there are any, actually, I don't think there were any couples that, yeah, they're all divorced.
But they used to always show on the show, like, video calls. Like, why can't they just incorporate that? Especially now in the COVID world, like, that's mm-hmm. so common. Everybody has that set up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They could have even done the Dr. Viviana, but of course we had to see her fire outfit. She always has such great wardrobe.
That's something. She does.
That's something she did say also, was that she started an Instagram just for her fashion, because people are always asking about what she's wearing.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
So that's out there in case anybody wants to go give that a follow. You can see the things that Dr. Viviana wears. But they get into like this topic of attraction. And Haley said, like, when he walked down the aisle, she wasn't super attracted. I'm like, this is another situation. Just be honest. You weren't attracted. And then this is when she chimes in about what we talked about earlier, was that she feels like it's draining putting in all the effort. Okay, Haley. Yeah. Okay. In what world?
Was the show like shading her with that? Or were they trying to like legitimate be like, yeah, look at all the work that she's doing?
Yeah. I think they were shading her, because okay, there's no way we like, they're like, look, this girl is delusional, because there's no way that was the best that they could pull up from to show the effort.
And she didn't push back on that at all. I thought that was a little surprising that he didn't. Maybe he was just like, okay, I just want to like make this peaceful and mm-hmm. try to get us back, because, you know, he had messed up before. But because if he was like, well, okay, what work have you done? Then she would have shut down even more. But
yeah,
really, what work have you done, Haley?
Exactly. And I it's funny that Dr. Viviana tried to build on this and like, well, maybe you're unattractive because of the unequal effort. Mm-hmm. and like, no, that's a stretch. But all in all, she says like they need to just get more comfortable around each other. And she's like, hey, let's get up. Let's go to the bedroom. It's like, what kind of exercise? Right. And so they all go and sit on the bed. Dr. Viviana was sitting on the edge of the bed. So she asked them like, okay, the least you could do is like give each other a kiss goodnight and good morning. And Haley said like, that'll be very uncomfortable for her at first. She can't even give him a peck. Like it almost, at this point, it almost seems like she's just there. I mean, there's like not being attracted and then there's being like
repulsed.
Yeah, like disgusted. Like I don't know the appropriate word, but it's like you can give a peck to someone you're like even just like casually dating and getting to know.
Right. This is somebody that she's been intimate with, she is married to, and I'm sure there was something on, you know, later Dr. Viviana brings receipts, you know, about how she answered a certain question. I'm sure there was a question too about like, what will you do if you're not physically attracted to your partner? You know, like will you still be comfortable? Or that was probably part of their talks when they kind of do the, like, maybe it was virtual this time, but when they have that, like the seminar of like, here's what we're gonna, like, here's what to expect. You might not, this isn't going to be like the supermodel. This isn't, you know, your ideal like celebrity crush. These are real people. And like, you know, you still want to like hold hands or like you have to try to like keep moving things forward a little bit.
Yeah. Could you see Haley on The Bachelor?
Yeah, I bet she probably applied for that and just didn't make it far enough. I think she, because she wants like some ideal person. And so you need someone like that who is just like going to be obsessed with The Bachelor. And she would be devastated if it didn't work out with her, but I think she would do better in that environment.
Very true. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, like you said, Dr. Viviana comes back later with the receipts and she just wants to make sure Haley isn't checked out. And she references her questionnaire to say, you know, she usually picks a guy apart and then she always promises that she'll give the next guy a chance. And that, you know, that's kind of like, this is her chance, giving Jacob a chance. And she says she just wants someone to compliment her lifestyle. And she acknowledges that Jacob is trying. But then she's like, so he's trying, but then I wonder at a certain point, is he changing too much to accommodate my lifestyle? So that at that point I was like, Jacob can't win.
Yeah. There's, she's looking for
always
outs.
Be something. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I liked how Dr. Viviana was like, that's really up to him. Like some guys are like, no, they want the wife to come in and do the makeover. And some guys are like, okay, no, I'm not comfortable. You can see with Eric, like he is saying, I'm not changing this. I'm not opening my mind to anything. So you have to deal with me this way or you have to leave. Jake seemed more open to like, he's willing to wear the new clothes that she got him. And so maybe he was just like, yeah, like 80s are, it seemed like a strong part of his identity, but maybe he was fine with like changing up his wardrobe and just wearing the 80s thing. Like when he like goes to 80s night somewhere, you know?
Right. Exactly. So the last scene we get with them was Jacob was joking that he had just brushed his teeth. So if they wanted to do their goodnight kiss now, they could. And they got in bed together, which is something that's new since the honeymoon. And Jacob's like, so no spooning or a goodnight kiss. And of course, Haley was not ready for that. Like, even she a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, she basically agreed to it with Dr. Viviana. And then it's not
the
doing
safe face. Yeah. In the previews for next week, we do see that she's at a loss and she's crying. I think it comes down to the fact that she wants to try, but she can't because she's unattracted to him and she feels like there's just nowhere to go from there. Mm-hmm. So I think she's basically in a battle with her own self right now. And she needs to spare Jacob and just be honest so that mm-hmm. they can both move along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anything else from their coverage over these two episodes?
Yeah, not really. Seems like the dogs have calmed down. They're getting along. So at least they have that going.
Yeah. Finally. Mm-hmm. You know, the dogs get along way better than Haley and Jacob. So with Haley and Jacob, we were at a 1 and then we went up to a 1.5 and then we went up to a 2. Mm. Where are you now?
I'm back at a 1. I don't think they're going to make it.
I don't either. It seemed like such baby steps in the right direction. But now we're really seeing like the core of the issue. She's not attracted to him and she doesn't want that to change. She wants to be attracted to the person she's with, but she's not attracted to even the qualities about him. So forget the physical appearance. She's just not attracted to anything about his lifestyle, anything about his life.
Right.
And so there's just nowhere to go from here.
And even if like Dr. Viviana called it the friend zone, but they're not like really friendly with each other. They're not having fun.
They're as cordial as coworkers. Mm-hmm. Coworkers who only talk at work. Like
they don't go to happy hour together. They don't. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think I don't want to put it all on Haley. Like I think Jacob too. It's like he is very firm and like he doesn't really go with the flow. Like, you know, I know that when she was like wanted a drink at home and he was just like, no, but it's mm-hmm. fine. Like you don't always want to, but you could be like, yeah, but I'll sit with you outside or, you know, like he's just sort of like, I don't know, like stilted in some of his interactions and
he
takes things like to the extreme when he could be a little more flexible and listening to what she has to say and understanding mm-hmm. instead of just like that, like, okay, well, because of this, then you were in love with your ex and that's, you're still wounded from that and just being so mm-hmm. direct, but also like, you don't really have a basis for saying these things. Like,
yeah.
Or if you're not attracted right now, we're done. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's not a good match.
At all. At all. I don't know what they were seeing. I did see that or on that podcast that I was talking about, The Bald and the Beautiful. They did say they provided a suggestion. They were like, we would really like a recap from the experts at the end of the season to talk about the couples and kind of what they were thinking in the beginning versus how it ended up turning out and just their mm-hmm. perspective. I'm mm-hmm. like, that would be so helpful.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah.
Like the matchmaking special, but like the mm-hmm. at the end, like sort of what they do. Yeah. Like, okay. So here, like, we thought they would connect on this, but, you know, one thing we did point mm-hmm. out was that this could be an issue. Or, you know, Haley had said that she was like this, but it turns out she was not open to this, you know? Right. So that would give them more credibility, too, because now I think they're getting, like, a lot of criticism.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're, like, experts. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Even though we've seen countless seasons where the couples have gotten divorced, it's just like, it's so hard to just watch it as it's happening.
I also think it's like strange. Like, I know, like, it's strange that they're casting like for these older guys. Like, I'm sure they had plenty of applicants of women over age 30 mm-hmm. when I think there's probably more like pressure, like to settle down and like, I just think they would have had maybe more luck with somebody a little older with Jacob, like that wouldn't maybe have such like, maybe would have been like, okay, I think the 80s, like that's kind of cool because I have a connection to that. Or maybe just been less like, okay, like this is like a superficial thing. I can look past this. And I think
mm-hmm.
for someone who like, they're casting 26, 28 with 10-year age differences in some of these cases that they can be like, okay, like I'm going to jump out because I have plenty of time. And mm-hmm. somebody who like Jacob's big thing was like, I'm worried about getting married before 40. I'm sure they could have found him like a 35-year-old woman who had that same fear. And, you know, it might not have worked out, but just like they'd be in the same place in life instead of like maybe the motivation was a little different. I think Haley maybe just wanted to get out of a rut a little bit. Like, oh, I haven't been in a serious relationship in 7 years. And, you know, maybe this is what I need. But I don't think she was like, no matter what, I'm going to see this through. Where I think certain couples they've had in the past were like, no matter what, I'm gonna like put my best effort forward. And like Jamie and Doug, she was like, this, I saw this as a marriage. So
yeah, exactly. And I think that's probably what that's what the experts leaned on was, oh, Haley has not been in a relationship for 7 years. She's desperate to get married. Right. And then Jacob really wants to get married before he turns 40. So this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. They both really want this.
Right.
It's like, no, that's such terrible logic.
Right. She wasn't in the relationship because she's so picky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not going to work when she doesn't even get to see like if it's someone she's physically attracted to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the next couple that we could talk about, I was thinking, is Eric and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So they, let's see, they, for episode 9, Eric went on his first work trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was him coming back from the first work trip. And so him and Virginia decided to go golfing together, but they were both really bad at it. And I was thinking, I was like, pilots don't golf. I feel like a lot of like professionals golf.
Right.
So being equally bad was a great time for them, which we do see, like if they're not talking about any issue, they genuinely have a good time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're talking about how, like, with him being gone, you know, they didn't talk as much as she would have expected, because when the tables were turned, he was expecting some constant communication, and he's just like, look, I'll be doing this for the rest of my life. And so it's so hypocritical.
I know, that really bothered me, where he's like, when you're gone, I need to be like checking in on you, like I need to hear from you. But then it's like he set that expectation up in her mind, so she's expecting when he's gone he's gonna be checking in. I'm sure she didn't even like request it, because she would just assume like that's his, you know, way of operating. And then he's like, this is just what I do, so you have to get used to it. And he always comes back to like, if you're not comfortable with it, then it's not going to work. And I think he's using that as a ploy to like scare her to feel like, okay, I don't want to rattle anything here.
Right. And that's not something you do with someone who has abandonment issues.
No.
Ridiculous. He's like dangling the marriage in front of her face to say like, hey, you get with it or I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so quick to say that.
And I was upset that Dr. Viviana didn't call him on that, you know, to jump ahead a little bit. But when he said something like that in front of her, I think it was about the comment about the kids, like, she doesn't want that, I'm done. And they show Dr. Viviana kind of reacting like a facial expression, but they don't say like, okay, like, this is not kind of the language we use around that. Like, that's not healthy to say you're done, saying, you know, this would be like, I put that as one of my deal breakers. I would really have to like, we'd really have to like work through that together, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. So we do get them with their card about love. So the card was like, what does love mean to you? And for Eric, it's happiness and positivity. And, you know, Eric hasn't said I love you to Virginia, but has said like, oh, I love this about her, I love that about her. And like, he hasn't been in love since his last marriage. And Virginia kind of feels worried that he'll compare this to that situation, because that was the last time he's in love. And, you know, Virginia's concerned because their backgrounds are so different and she's younger. And, you know, his parents have been married for 40 years and hers are divorced. So they have different examples of love, which is a very valid point. But even if that's the case, you know, you work to create that, I guess, perspective on love or your own example of love through like what you both learned. Is what I would imagine. I'm very single, so I don't even have, you know, I can't speak from personal experience, but from all the TV I've watched.
Yeah, I mean, it goes right hand in hand with The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Finale, like Matt James didn't have the healthiest example, but yeah.
Yeah, and of course that it shapes who you are and you know, your perspective, which we very clearly saw with Matt. Yeah, what a crazy finale. But so, you know, Virginia says she's always wanted a serious relationship. And Eric is like, this is more than that. This is a marriage. And I just hate when he's so condescending like that. Like, he may have been joking, but that's how he truly feels. Like, he thinks that she sees this as less than a marriage.
Yeah, he comes in like he's always teaching her.
Yes. It's like, who wants to date? Unless this is Pretty Little Liars and my name is Aria, I don't want to date a teacher. So he needs to get out of that mindset. And I don't think that I don't think he even understands, because it's almost like mansplaining.
Yeah.
Like, totally. You know, guys don't understand when they're doing that until you constantly call them out. And they're like, oh, wait, I am always kind of restating what you already just said. But yeah, it's I hope, you know, maybe when Dr. Pepper comes in that she points that out, because we didn't get that specifically with Dr. Viviana. But yeah, with this conversation about love, Virginia, she said, you know, normally I would have ran like a week ago. Which isn't comforting to hear. And so, you know, Eric said that worries him that she says stuff like that.
But I think she's just being open that she's showing, like, normally I would do this. I'm not doing this.
Right. So. Exactly. Yeah. So we do get another scene from them where they're eating a home cooked meal that Eric prepared. And you know, Eric asks how she's feeling, and she said, like, it honestly scares her that his ex-wife was his greatest love, because that's what she's thinking she has to live up to. And he's like, his greatest at that time. Things have been going amazing with us, and like, you're even more than what I've asked for. And then he breaks out the guitar. So we get to see him play a few chords. But he didn't sing.
Yeah.
Do spoken word. He just played.
Did it surprise you the way he was talking about his ex-wife? Because when we heard before, it was like he downplayed it so much. Like,
yes.
Oh, we didn't wear rings. It was just so she could live at the base that I was staying at. And, you know, I didn't have the wedding. But now it was like, this is my greatest love. And I haven't been loved since then. So.
Right. It's, you know, I believe this version, because I think that the first time was like, hey, I'm trying to make sure that you're okay that I've been divorced. So I want to make sure that, you know, like, this is special to me too. I'm downplaying it. But then, like, he's trying to prove that, like, oh, I've been through this. And like, I know a solid example of love, because that's what I had with my ex-wife. I think he was truly downplaying it with, like, at the wedding.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Which sucks, because now she's getting mixed messages. So after he plays a guitar, he does tell her that he loves her, and she says it back.
Yeah, that was sweet. That part was sweet.
Yeah, it was. The only thing we got from like their time at the pool party was that Virginia was hurt that when Eric got back from his trip, she had organized the kitchen and a whole bunch of other stuff, and Eric didn't even say anything. So she felt like he didn't notice. And I'm like, if you don't say anything, he's not going to know that you like those like words of affirmation, like thank you. And, you know, this looks great. I really appreciate it. He may have just thought, oh, she likes the place neat, so she cleaned up.
I know. I can totally feel for her on this one, though, because it's like, you don't want to have to say that you, yeah. you know, like, because then it kind of takes away some of the meaning of the words. That's like a really mm-hmm. hard thing to work on, where it's like, I don't have to tell you to tell me that. Like,
right. I want you to want to tell me.
Yeah.
yeah. That is true. So, you know, hopefully she doesn't like let that eat up at her at some point. So episode 10, we see, you know, the infamous Rocky is her password for everything. And Virginia asks, like, can we share passwords? And so this breaks out.
This is weird. It's like, this is where he should have come in. This is where he should have done the parenting role and been like, you shouldn't use the same password for everything, and don't tell your password right now. We're being filmed. I'm sure they didn't think it would make air, but like, no, mm-hmm. you better be changing your password. Like, I thought he was going to be like the dad being like, no, 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 Virginia, don't do that. But he was like, yeah, I use the same password for everything. But yeah, it includes my dog's name, but not everything. Mm-hmm. It has a few little numbers and symbols in there.
Right.
But yeah, like, now they want to. It led to this whole conversation about like, you know, who should she be like texting and liking and following?
It was just a very lighthearted, turned serious type of situation really quick. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, okay, this is the type of conversation, like, okay, should we share, you know, and she brings up like, he's like, okay, social media. And she's like, well, more, you know, there are passwords to more things in social media. And he's like, oh, phones, like, that's fine. Like, you can look through my phone. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she was like, would you be cool if I'm texting like my guy friends? He's like, the two I know. Yeah. I'm
sure. Fine. Great.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, well, there's more than two.
He's got to screen them all.
Exactly. Every single man that comes in your life, Virginia, needs to. I understand him like being a little weary of close guy friends that you're texting every day, or people that you're consistently talking to, because even the women in her life that she's close to, he would know, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they would be a secret. So, you know,
he basically wants to know if they want to get with her or if they've been with her before.
Yes,
that's like his big issue. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like he needs a spreadsheet of every contact in her phone. What is your history with this person?
Have you kissed once?
Yeah. Did you hook up when you were drunk? Like, okay, he's out. You can never talk to him again.
Yeah. Then it leads to the social media conversation where she's like, well, he was like, I don't think you should be liking like X's pictures. And she's like, well, why am I following them if I'm not going to like their picture? And he's like,
good question.
I don't think you should be following them in the first place.
Why are you following them, Virginia? Let me take that phone. And
they wouldn't even be having these conversations if it didn't stem from just the lack of trust he has because of his perspective on her maturity. He doesn't think she's mature, so he thinks that she's going to do these immature things.
And I think it's a little bit like, this is where the generational, even though she's 26, he's 34, like, so mm-hmm. the 8 year, but I think like those are like the key 8 years where like he probably had some time where he wasn't big on social media or just like used it like sparingly. Mm-hmm. And she grew up with it, and so I think she's like, yeah, like we just like photos, it's just like not a big deal. And he's like, a like really means that you're like,
yeah,
I'm like flirting with your you love. And
it's like he wouldn't read into a like if he really trusted her, but then also she wouldn't be liking ex's photos if she cut them off. I don't know. It's a fine line.
He has a total, I mean, there's definitely couples where they're fine with like both people maintaining friendships with exes. And then there's obviously he is not cool with that.
He is not that person. Yeah. We do see Dr. Viviana's visit. She asked about their connection because they seem to be like, you know, physically connected. And they said there was an instant attraction, and Virginia says, but they do avoid talking about their issues. And, mm-hmm. you know, we learn that, you know, obviously we can tell that they probably have opposite views politically.
This was so funny. They were just like saying it without saying it.
Like, yes. Like, we all know what you're saying.
How could you like talk around like so much without saying like conservative or like political views? Like, well, yeah, he and my dad are the exact same. And we grew up the same way. But my views are opposite, like just me and my sister. We know her sister is gay. And right. so it's like, and then he's like, well, her, like it's social issues are more important to her. And I have like some stances that are way more important to me. So we're like, okay, you vote Republican. I get it. She's not sitting well with her. And, but you're like, he just tried to say like, well, I don't really have an opinion on social issues because they're a lot more complex. So I'm cool with her having those opinions. Yeah, like my views are never going to change. And mm-hmm. that's a big deal. And I think
it's huge.
She's wise to be like flagging that as an issue. Mm-hmm. And I think just the fact that I think Dr. Viviana asked her like, well, have you had the same views as your partners in the past? And she said no, but those relationships also didn't work out. Like, exactly. I don't think it's unreasonable to find a partner that shares like major views like that. Like if Eric doesn't really believe in gay marriage or something, that's a big deal.
That's big, yeah.
Because that's his sister-in-law. Exactly. And so I think like they should have matched her with somebody that is liberal. That's just
right.
That wouldn't have been a hard thing to find.
Exactly. Like why either it's either on her for not saying that's a deal breaker because some people are okay with having opposing views, but it's like
that's like what Eric was saying. It's like he was fine with them not having the same views. He was like, I'm either fine with meeting the middle or agreeing to disagree. But it was really bothering her that they weren't on the same page.
Right. Because to her, these are like fundamental beliefs. This is how you feel about other people. Mm-hmm. Whereas he sees it as like like he said, he's not focused on social issues.
I was in the military. I'm always going to have these views. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he sees it as a very rigid thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the fact that he is fine with it and he's just like, I respect, you know, that we have different views. That's just him tolerating it. Yeah. Whereas she sees it as, well, no, we disagree on this. So, and that's a big deal. Like the fact that, you know, like you said, like the fact that you may not accept gay marriage, but my sister is gay. Like, that's a big deal because we are going to have, you know, our families together. And that matters. I don't want you to just say, oh, well, I respect that that's how you feel, but agree to disagree. It's like that's not how she wants it to be with her husband.
Yeah. And I don't think they had an answer for, okay, are you going to present both of you to your kids and let them decide? I don't think they had an answer. And I don't think Eric would be fine with that's, his kids being one way or the other.
Right. They didn't have an answer because what they always do is segue into a new issue, which was, and so when Dr. Viviana brought that up, he's like, well, that's the thing. We don't know if she wants kids.
Right.
And so he's like, she's 50-50 on that. And, you know, that's when we find out, like Virginia said, like, okay, I don't know, but if my husband does, then we'll talk about it. And you see that Eric's like very, he doesn't like this. He's like, we'll talk about it. And he's just like, she wants to wait till she's 30, but then I'll be 38. I don't want to wait until I'm 40 to have kids. And he's so like, she doesn't want kids.
He's exaggerating there too. It's like,
yes.
Okay. That's 38's different. And right. It's only 4 years. Like you need to be married for a while, right? Like you've never even dated. So it doesn't seem unreasonable for her to wait till she's 30. That's 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't seem to me like she was against having kids. Like if you hear 50-50 and that she was
like,
going
to. Right,
yeah. If she was going to see what her husband thought, he wants them. So it seems like she would be like agreeable with that.
Yeah.
But you can't just be like, okay, tomorrow.
Right. Exactly. Which is like, It sounds like that's what he wants. He mm-hmm. wants her to be ready today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. These are big issues that they don't ever just sit down and talk about, which is why we see them later talk about a stopwatch. So they're using a stopwatch to talk about an issue for like 5 minutes. And then so they can just get out the issue and then, I guess, move on. Mm-hmm. Did you think this was smart or a good idea?
It struck me as weird. But then when I saw them doing it, I was like, I think it works for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise they just go back and forth and mm-hmm. it's just like, well, this won't work for me. And so I think they needed more than, because it was like 5 minutes, you can't interrupt the person. So finally we learned that she was more worried about bringing kids into the world if she might not stay married or something like that, like because of mm-hmm. like she doesn't want to put kids through a divorce. So then he knows, like, hey, we're solid, like mm-hmm. we don't have to worry about that, or we can talk about that, like that doesn't need to be part of the fear, like I don't want to have kids until we're like in a good place or something.
Yeah, that's so true. Like this, it may seem trivial for some other couples, but with the way that they segue, this was a really good way to stay on topic, because I just know if something was going to trigger Eric to bring up, well, because you do drink a lot.
Yeah. They actually didn't talk about that. That was really refreshing.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad they have other issues.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just a lot deeper than just, oh, she's a party girl. There are just some deep rooted differences that they have that has kind of been overshadowed because they were having this honeymoon phase of having such a good time together and having fun, which is awesome. I'm glad mm-hmm. they get along so well. But it's like they have to see if they are willing to work through these different issues. But I'm glad with this stopwatch situation, they did get on the Eric got a better understanding, like you explained, of Virginia, why she's where she's in a place where she's iffy about kids. So I'm surprised on day 25 they are just now getting that deep, when you know they have had conversations about like her dad in the past, but they never had the time, like, you know, the time restraint to go there. So I'm glad that I hope they continue that. And it's not just like, Dr. Viviana was here today, we're going to do it. No, they need to keep doing that with these major issues because they love to avoid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We did have one last scene from them where Virginia was trying to do something nice for Eric. So she prepared dessert, set up the room, and Eric really liked that. And Virginia's main thing is that she doesn't want this honeymoon phase they're in to fizzle out. She wants to keep it new and fresh. And she worries that, you know, they're not always going to be, you know, as happy and on cloud nine as they are right now. And I think as long as they talk through the issues they have, such as her, like him disagreeing on the party girl ways, and then their views, as Eric put it, their views on the country. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, there's space for growth. But if they never talk about it, there's going to be a huge blow up coming.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, not even just her being a party girl, but him being so stuck in his ways. Like, somebody needs to let him know, stop acting like you know more about every single thing than her, and stop being so rigid and not willing to adjust. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we do see on the next time that he's like, I know where I'm going to live after this, and she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Again, yeah.
Like, what? You're that, like, why did you sign up for Married at First Sight if you're that stuck on the bachelor pad you live in?
You wanted them to find someone that, like, wanted to live there. I haven't had any luck on Tinder with someone mm-hmm. that likes the pilot lifestyle. So he's like, this is everything I'm offering, and they have to be mm-hmm. cool with it. And he wanted, like, the matchmaker service.
Yep.
So,
yeah, very true. So with them, let's see, we were at the the first rating we gave them was a 3.5. Then we moved to a 3. Then we moved to a 2.5. So where do you have them now?
Here's the thing. It's like, I think they're going to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could be someone like, it's a deep cut, but like a, what's it, Lily and Tom, like where eventually, like they're just going to be too different and they're going to split up, but they're going to like make a okay run at it. Because they have that physical attraction to each other.
Yeah.
So I think like that is carrying them right now. And, you know, maybe she'll get pregnant soon after and it'll keep them together or something.
Yeah.
But I think they have some really strong fundamental differences. However, I think they are not really worried about it to the extent right now, because like, she's just more worried like, oh, what if like the honeymoon phase fizzles out? I want to really be attracted to me. And like, they seem to like have good chemistry from that end. And so like, they're definitely going to say yes on decision day is my opinion. So I'm going to have to give them a 4.
Ooh, a 4. Okay. Mm-hmm. I give them a 3. So we're at a 3.5. So we are back. Yeah. We're back to where we were with them, which is good. Cause that means there's progress that's being made.
Yeah. But they didn't have the issues that they had, like as the issues didn't seem to be causing like the rift in the same way as they did on the honeymoon, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cause she said something like when they were making that conversation about like social media and exes and guy friends, like she was just sort of like, okay, I haven't decided if I'm going to like be annoyed about this or just let it go. So I think she's just like letting things go right now. And that I think she's going to do that for the rest of the time. So I probably like, they should be more like a 3, but if we're just going by like, will they last for decision day? I think 4.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I'm just okay. So the couple I think about that they could be like, which is a better situation than, or like, it's like, it has a more positive ending than Lillian and Tom, is Jamie and Elizabeth. But the difference with Jamie and Elizabeth from Charlotte is that although they had some explosive arguments, at least they were talking it through. They weren't brushing anything aside. They were upset about something. They were going to argue about it and talk it through to death until they got to where they need to be. And I think that's why they've lasted.
Yeah. I still think they should get they should have got a divorce after all that. Like, that was not healthy fighting. They were just like, I guess maybe they were messed up in the right ways, because they both like lied and said they wanted kids. And then they're both like, yay, we don't want kids. We both lied. There was, it's like, what? Like, you both went on this for like totally wrong reasons. Like, very strange. But they seem to be doing fine now based on, I don't really watch Couples Cam, but from what I see.
Yeah, it seems like they finally found their groove. Mm-hmm. And I think there was enough good to outweigh the bad for them. Mm-hmm. Which I think if Virginia and Eric can continue their chemistry in terms of truly enjoying being together and not allowing one of these differences to kind of interfere with that, to where they're like, okay, Eric's like, okay, well, I'm going to stay at my place, if I'm going to storm out or something. Mm-hmm. I think that they could last, but if I don't know, I think the only way at this point for them to say no on decision day is if they do have a big falling out over something.
Mm-hmm.
But if they never address it to the point of like having a huge argument, I think they'll stay together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think similarly to Jamie and Beth, they seem like they were at the place where they wanted to be married. And I don't think Virginia was really just looking for a boyfriend. I think she did want the marriage. So
Eric
obviously did.
He needs to get over that.
Yeah.
He needs to stop thinking that she thinks she's just in a fling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marriage. She's aware. She knows. Gosh. Mm-hmm. give her a break. So we have two couples left. Which one?
Let's go Clara and Ryan.
Okay. Listen, yeah, we'll end on a positive note. Okay. So Claire and Ryan, they are an interesting two people. So with episode 9, they were at a pottery place because Claire does have a crafty side. And it was funny because, like, when you're at a pottery place, you're having fun. It's messy. You know, you're doing your thing. But Ryan was taking it so seriously. And I thought that was funny because it was just like in a situation where you should be playful. You know, we know he's not normally playful, no. But he's like, of course, he was being very meticulous with the mug he was making. And, you know, hers looked terrible, but a fun activity was Ryan managed to make it Ryan. And she reveals that, you know, she flies because she's a flight attendant. So she flies every week and maybe like one weekend in the month. And I was talking to my roommate about them and she said she feels like Clara is kind of dimming her light for Ryan. Mm-hmm. Which makes so much sense because Clara has this huge personality, which I thought she's going to be like Virginia level, like big personality. But she is really like, she's really kind of more reserved in a sense with Ryan, which mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, is that the real Clara or is it because she's with Ryan?
Right. Yeah, I think it's because she's with Ryan.
Yeah.
I just want to like be two, like out of 10 when he's out of 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did do their card activity where there were questions like, how will you feel when you're in love? What can your partner do to help you feel more in love? And there were some other love questions and Ryan could not answer any of them. Like he wasn't mm-hmm. trying. He's just like, oh, well, and just leaving them unanswered.
I was getting a little bit of like the 40-year-old virgin vibes with some of his answers mm-hmm. where he's just like, medium, yeah. normal. That's how I like sex, just medium. Yeah. Like, okay, that's not a sex position, but.
Right. Exactly. So we do learn that Clara, like she needs to feel heard. And Ryan says like for him to feel the most comfortable, like it takes time and patience. Mm-hmm. And Claire says it like she tells us like it's frustrating to give most of what you want, but not all of what you want. And this is like in reference to their situation with their physical intimacy. She says they're doing everything but sex, everything but intimacy. And that's the theme, or not intimacy, intercourse. Mm-hmm. So that's the theme we see across both of these episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think she's kind of putting more out there than what they originally agreed to tell.
Yeah, she's just really
more and more frustrated.
Yeah.
Ryan does this sweet gesture where he takes her to a place with like these donuts for her to try.
I'm just like craving that right now, like just thinking back to it. That's such a cute date idea.
Yes. So many different types of donuts and you just eat them all. Like Clara was really enjoying herself mm-hmm. on these donuts. They looked delicious. We have a place like that here in Houston called Voodoo Donuts.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of that one. That must be like nationally famous.
Oh, you really? Yeah. It's so good. Like they just have so many like adventurous donuts. I know they have one in Austin too. But maybe they are all over, they are like jelly. They have jelly and then they have icing and sprinkles.
They have them in Oregon too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
Just Oregon or is it?
Okay. So I just looked up. They have Florida, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they have, where's Colfax? Is that Colorado? Not anywhere near me, but they've got like
unfortunate
California, LA, it looks like, and Oregon.
Oh gosh, I can't look Seattle. At these. Oh yeah, Oregon. Wow, Oregon has a lot. Yeah, Houston, Hollywood, Orlando, So it seems like touristy locations and then Denver.
Nice. So maybe I'll get to everybody eventually.
Right. But if you have one near you, definitely go, because they are so good. Oh, look, they have a Shamrock one for St. Patrick's Day. They're just delicious donuts. I highly recommend it.
And it's 24 hours, it seems like, most of the locations. Oh,
yeah. So nice. That's why the Austin one is perfect. So you go to 6th Street and then you go get a donut.
Yeah, I always crave sweets at the end of the night. So like a 24 mm-hmm. hour. Yeah. After
yeah.
You've been out.
Yeah. I always have to stop myself from like, okay, I just need something sweet. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect fix.
Yep.
So all that to say, very envious of Clara at this donut place. And it was sweet because Ryan knew that her love language was gift giving. Mm. And it was funny. There was a moment where she took a bite of one and then she was about to offer it until like the taste really set in. And then she like continued to eat it like, oh, no, I'm not sharing.
Yeah. What I like too is just that like you can tell like he's not going to just be eating donuts. Like he just seems he's so type A, so particular in his like workout routine and mm-hmm. what he eats. So some people like that, like I couldn't see Zach doing this for Mindy, you know, like
right,
he would never deviate. He would never like dare like say like, oh, it's okay to eat a donut once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
So I like that, like he
it's
is willing
effort.
To go to, yeah, he wasn't into crafting but he did it, and yeah,
right. I really like that. The things got a little weird because like they had a conversation about her eating the cookie. They bought cookie dough to make cookies at home, but she ate the cookie dough. Mm-hmm. So he's seeing like, okay, she really likes these sweets. And then he asked her like, what motivates you? And she's like, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And because it so far it's very lighthearted. And then he goes right. on this long explanation about what motivates him, like how the people long before him are determined that his current actions. And Clara's like, wow, I didn't know I was going to get a self-help talk. I'm just trying to enjoy some donuts.
Right.
And I think if she wasn't so frustrated, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like it would just been learning about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of comes out a little different, but I don't know. I just really like her. I want to be friends with her. I think like, I would want to get donuts anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of talk would annoy me when it's like supposed to be date night, you know, like we're just having donuts. Like we should just talk about fun things. Like,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, she just wasn't in the mood to, but we don't really know like how you reacted to it. Cause I feel like every time we see him, it's just like he's silent, and I don't know, does he just not respond, or is mm-hmm. that just really cut off and we don't see how he responded? Because maybe he just sounded like, oh, sorry, you know, no problem, let's talk about it later, and left mm-hmm. off. But we don't know. They always make it look like it was so awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
But we never hear him like say like, I'm so frustrated with like she's disrespecting me. We never hear him like have that, you know.
Right. And it's because he's so respectful. Like, I think even with him feeling, if he felt that way, he wouldn't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would not want to disrespect her publicly or talk about her when she's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, and that, it just all goes to show why Ryan is not a great TV character, because he's so normal.
Mm-hmm.
great guy. But,
right. You know,
entertainment factor is a little low. So they, on episode 10, they did do their first TV show binge. So they were up really late, which we do know from a couple episodes ago, you know, they have a very different sleep schedule. So that was a good, I feel like they're really trying. Ryan, I guess they have a conversation about intimacy, because Ryan says like he needs trust to be more intimate. And Clara is like, patience is not her virtue. And like Ryan asked how she would like for him to initiate romance.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, just do it. Claire asks how they can make their sex life better. And Ryan says, trust and commitment. And then they, Claire asked, like, the favorite sexual position and why. And Ryan says he'll just take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. So these are those questions that Dr. Viviana sent, right? For them to get, like, or did, because these weren't just, like, I'm forgetting. Are these, how were these questions initiated?
Yeah,
these
weren't from the show some way or another. Like, this is an activity you have to do.
Okay, okay. Because I was like, I was like, did Dr. Viviana send an activity? Because, yeah, these were not just, oh, let's talk about this. And then Claire asked what his favorite sexual position was and why. And, you know, he said he'll take it as it comes. And Claire asked the toughest experience that that he's had to get through in life. And, like, Claire reveals she was very unhappy in her last relationship and just needs to get out of it. And her and her ex had sex 3 times a year. So she felt undesired sexually and feels like this could be happening again. So that right there puts the bow on how Claire is feeling. Like, I feel like now I do truly understand why she's so concerned about this so soon. Well, not so soon, but why she's extra concerned about it. Not just being sexually frustrated, but she's thinking it could be deeper than that. Not just, oh, we haven't been intimate yet, because she has experience with it in her past.
Definitely.
So we did dive more into it with Dr. Viviana's visit. And so Clara, you know, said, you know, she never imagined she'd be in a marriage where sex was being withheld. Dr. Viviana, she thinks that they are very cute together. And Ryan said that, like, between them, everything's been very natural. Like, they feel like they would have been together if they had met outside of this. They're both affectionate, but Clara is more sexually motivated. And Ryan wants to build a foundation. So Clara does start to, throughout this conversation, Clara does get a little frustrated because, you know, it's, she explains that Ryan puts a brake on it 100% of the time. Like, if things are getting too heated, he's the one that puts a brake on it. And he's like, we're getting there. And so it comes down to they're doing what he wants sexually and not what she wants. And so Dr. Viviana asked to speak to Clara alone. And, you know, she said it feels like he's waiting for butterflies in order for them to have sex. Mm-hmm. And she needs sex in order to have those butterflies. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, y'all gotta find meet in the middle somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another, like, kind of tough matchup, I think. But since they seem to be getting along for everything else, then, you know, I don't think it'll be like a long-term issue. She just has to be patient, it seems like.
Right, right. Which she's realizing it's very hard for her to do right now. Dr. Viviana also questions, like, maybe it could he be a virgin? And she's like, no, he has said he's had sex before. So, like, I don't think he's lying about that. But they do get on an important topic of, for her, sex has never meant anything more than sex. Whereas, like, Ryan is seeing it as, like, a deeply emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really making her sad because she's like, well, what if even when we do, it's not that for me, but it is for him. And then, like, what if, you know, he's not happy with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she's overthinking it a lot, like, because she's just having like, they're not having it. So she's just like, like, what if this happens? And she's just, like, worried about it so much. I think Dr. Viviana, like, that was kind of an interesting call. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, well, I think what it is he doesn't want to admit one way or another on camera, which is bad TV, like, for this type of show. Like, I'm sure he was honest when he applied. And so she was like, so do you think he was dishonest about it in his application? You know, because she would obviously know one way or another when they apply. And so Clara just didn't think he's a dishonest person because he's just been open about everything else. So I think that's right. But I think maybe he doesn't want his parents to know, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think like, if he just doesn't really, like, specify one way or the other, you know, and I think his whole, like, okay, you want to wait to the right moment, or, you know, building that trust. I think it's also like he doesn't want to have it while they're filming. And I forget which couple. I feel like there's another couple that was like that, or they didn't want to admit it anyway, or it didn't happen till afterwards. Was that?
Wasn't like it and Luke Miles? And Kate? Like they didn't admit it. They were having sex until he kind of broke up with her and things weren't going well. And so Kate was like, yeah, we have been.
Yeah. So there are couples that for sure don't talk about it. Like, but Karen and Miles, like they didn't just because of where their relationship was. But they stayed married. And then they obviously did later on. So I think he could be kind of in that camp where it's like, this is just our dating phase, even though we're technically married. And I think he doesn't he's just going to do everything besides that as a technicality.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not expecting her to like reveal that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Cause on that, the season, the rest of the season preview, we do see there was like a private conversation that Clara was having with the rest of the girls saying like, you know, she is like, basically, like he is getting what he wants every night, but she's not. Mm. And so she's very frustrated about it. I mean, and we see in the next episode, she's going to talk about like, okay, if we don't do it after 6 months, like I'm done. So it's another one of those like ultimatums, but you know, you don't want to force it.
No. So. Yeah. You need consent. Right. So,
it's really tough. Because her frustration is understandable, but then you can also see from his perspective with the fact that he's private, and that he wants that emotional connection. So I really hope this isn't the deal breaker for them.
Right.
But for them, we did. So the first episode, we had them at a 4. Then, well, the first few episodes, we had them at a 4. Then we had them at a 4. And then we went down to a 3. Mm-hmm. So where would you say they are now?
I think they're back at a 4. The fact that Clara's been patient to this point, and when Dr. Viviana arrived and Ryan expressed that, like, if we met in the real world, like, it would be really natural. So that was kind of good to hear. I just think, like, okay, they have the fundamentals down. Mm-hmm. They obviously have the chemistry physically. It's just, like, he's putting the brakes on it. So I think that's just something that he needs to be more open with her about, like, okay, it seems like he doesn't want to tell her when it's going to happen because that's not romantic. And she's just she wants to know, like, okay, I think if he maybe told her, like, I'm not comfortable while we're being filmed, I don't want to have to talk about it on camera. So
yeah, then it'd be a wrap.
Then she'd be, okay, like, I can wait. Or if he knew, like, I need to know before decision day, then he might make a different decision or something. But I think there's something behind it that's more like he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. And I wish he would just, if he would just tell her, this is the thing, I don't want to talk about it on camera, like you said, then that would ease some of her frustration, hopefully. And they can focus on the positive parts of the relationship, get through the next 4 weeks, and then address that. But I fear that she's going to think like, okay, this might be a deal breaker to us staying married or not. Because I don't even know if we connect physically.
Right.
So it's tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I also agree with the 4. Because I think there's a chance they could stay married if they can communicate about this. I just think that there aren't enough bad things to outweigh the positives so far. Like I know they do have the difference in that, you know, he goes to church and she doesn't, which they haven't, like it's important to his family and it's important to him in raising his kids, but he hasn't expressed if he's okay with it, like with her, not like Or maybe we just haven't seen that conversation. Maybe they've had it off camera, which is why it hasn't been an issue mm-hmm. on camera. So.
Right.
So we'll get to our last and most adorable couple who they're not perfect either though, but, but they are at least enjoyable to watch. They make my heart flutter. So, Brianna and Vincent, so adorable. Mm-hmm. So with episode 9, they start out with their card with how, you know, when you're in love, and Brianna says like, she normally looks for flaws in her relationship, but she doesn't look, she no longer looks for those flaws with him. And he said he knows when he can't stop thinking about the person, and they agree that they can be vulnerable with each other and talk to each other about anything. And Vincent thinks they'll be using the L word pretty soon. And Brianna agrees. And Brianna was like, I love you now.
That was so cute.
Yeah. He's like, you do?
Oh, so cute. Because you can tell he was just testing the waters a little bit.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to say it. So right. I'm just going to like say, I think we'll say it soon, don't you? Right. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, it was a perfect opportunity for her to say, I was so glad. And she's like, I'm still growing in love with you. And he's like, I'm also in love as well. And it's growing. And Vincent is the happiest he's been in a long time. And then they say it again to each other. Mm. I was just smiling ear to ear. Like, mm-hmm. this was a great match. They continued to show, even through their issues, that this is a great match.
Mm-hmm.
So there was such a sweet moment one day when Brianna gets home. So Brianna's mom got them a chalkboard with their names engraved on it for their wedding. And so Vincent surprised her and said like, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write 4 Spanish words a day on it. And so you can learn Spanish, continue to learn Spanish. And she loves that. And then he's like, okay, wait, I have something for you. He goes out the apartment, comes back in with a bike. And he's like, hey, I got you this so we can ride together. And she was like, I'm so glad he listens. And turns out she told him at the wedding that she liked, that she wanted a bike. So he was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I like to go biking. And she's like, oh, I would love to do that. Like I would just need a bike. And so he got her a bike. And then he was like, okay, so I got you this bike, but, and I also ordered a basket for Cookie so she can ride with us too. It was just so sweet.
I know. Really cute. Cause it's like, a gift for him as well, because that's what he loves to do, but she wanted it. She's interested in it.
Yes.
And then the chalkboard. So cute.
Yes. It's so thoughtful. There's just like, mm-hmm. look what happens when you put in effort and thought and you listen to your partner. This mm-hmm. is what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I wish the other couples could like, I don't even know how you could do it, but it's like they're only involved when like a big issue comes up, because anytime things are positive, they're too afraid to share with each other because they're like, well, this person isn't doing well, so I don't want to look like I'm bragging. But I want them to also see, like, look at the effort that's being shown. Look, you can do something similar. Doesn't have to be the same thing, but you can at least try, because that's how progress is made. That's how you grow. That's how you learn more about each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't see this stuff until after.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of like when Dr. Viviana was telling Haley and Jake, like, just act like how you would have liked a marriage to be. Like, just start doing those little things. Like, do nice things for each other. And
yeah. Yeah. It's like, if you start to act that way, then maybe you'll start to feel better. It's like, I feel like I tricked myself in doing that too, or there's on TikTok, there was this nature cereal. And so,
oh yeah, I've seen
that. So I got the ingredients, and it's like pomegranates, blackberries, blueberries, and coconut water and ice. And I don't like coconut water, but I like it in smoothies, but just like straight up coconut water, I just don't like the taste. But I was like, okay, I'm just gonna make it, and then I'm just gonna act like I like the coconut water, and then while I eat the fruit, and then eventually, and now I've had my third bowl and I'm liking it.
Okay. So
you just act like you like something long enough until you actually start, and then maybe think, you know, maybe not the best advice for marriage, but at least for like getting along, that you like the person's presence. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Live with them. But with Vincent and Brianna, so Brianna wanted to show that she's also listening and she knows that he likes to try new things. And so they decided to go salsa dancing. And Vincent's not used to salsa. Like, he is good at bachata, but not salsa. And so he is not doing a great job. And he says it's embarrassing because he would have felt more comfortable doing bachata. And then he doesn't want to be. He's like, I don't want to be here. He starts acting standoffish. And then we just start to get this like Vincent who doesn't communicate and is pouting. And things just get so uncomfortable because Brianna's still trying to have a good time, but she can tell that he is not feeling it anymore. And he's just like, I'm not used to this classroom stuff. And it's just like, you can just tell, like, you can tell, like, okay, he's embarrassed by what he's doing. That's why he's not enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But he just doesn't communicate it well.
Yeah, really immature moment. Remember that season, was it Dave and Ashley was her name or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they were dancing on the honeymoon and he was just like all sweaty and he was just being a jerk.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It makes me so uncomfortable for like the, like, I feel bad for the person teaching. Mm-hmm. It's like they are taking their time. Like, this is their, like, they're really into it. And it makes me like so upset for them that like, mm-hmm. you can't just put on like a nice face and like go through the class and be polite about it. Not just for your partner, but just like this other person that is here helping you. And like, just have an, just be lighthearted about like, oh, like, yeah, I don't, this one's hard for me. I like, I'm used to doing it this way. So I loved when Dr. Viviana, when they talked about it the next time, you can tell like they have no issues because that's like what they had to talk about.
Right, exactly.
It was like basically like a recap of last episode. Yes. She's like, so tell me about this incident. Tell me about this incident. Because those are your only two problems. Right. But she was like, you know, that's what a class is for. Like, you aren't supposed to be that great at the thing you're learning. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about her visit was because they actually talked it through and actually came to an understanding. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, they got the things we already know out of the way, like they're best friends. They are doing really well. They're both silly. And then Dr. Viviana was like, okay, well, I do know that often this playfulness leads to tension. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they explain the champagne and then explain the dance lesson. And Dr. Viviana breaks it down. She's like, I see this pattern where you're trying to be smooth. You're trying to impress your wife. And then life gets in the way and you freak out. Mm-hmm. And Vince is just like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He's like, and also like, I've gained some weight. So my shirt was really tight. And he just starts opening up.
That's cute.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Cause I was about to be annoyed with Vincent if he was going to continue to act this way, but that's all they needed was someone to spell it out what was happening. And then he's like, yes, that's it. Like, I like her so much that I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of her. And he apologized. And of course she accepted. And she's always so forgiving and so understanding. I feel like they tried to, in like the matchmaking special, they tried to paint this picture that she was so type A and so like, it's my way or the highway, but she's the most understanding wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. So
I love that for them. Mm-hmm. and they, when they did the little activity with the card, it was really funny. Or no, not the activity with the card. He created their own activity to do to kind of like, to like feed each other. But they also did another activity where they were like, okay, what's one thing you would change? And the only thing they could say was Brianna was like, oh, when I get in the shower, like it hits me really high. And Vincent's like, oh, that's really funny because when I get in the shower, I'm like, why is it barely hitting my ankles?
Yeah, I have that same issue in my relationship. I'm like, can't just push the like nozzle back down.
Yeah. That's so hilarious.
But then she also would change his hair.
Yes. And well, I thought that was him saying he would change his, like he was asking what's one thing he doesn't, what would he change about himself? was his hair.
Oh, I thought she was saying like that's what she would change about him.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, what do you mean? Oh, no. Like,
oh.
Because I did notice when I think I must have seen it. Was it maybe on a? I only have seen one unfiltered so far.
Oh, and then he wasn't hair. Bald. He had hair.
And so
yeah.
I was like, okay, if that doesn't tell you that they're still together, even though like everything else would indicate that as well. But like,
yeah.
He grew his hair back, like because he's mm-hmm. not like naturally bald that he shaved.
Right, he shaved it.
Yeah, so like he's wearing his hair different. Like he has hair now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing that for her.
Yes. Oh, they're so sweet. But yeah, then they did that do that activity where he made it up where they like had they were feeding each other food and just like daring each other to do things like pick their nose or talk about the craziest thing they've ever done. And so they're just great. I love them together. And that was pretty much all we had for them for these two episodes. Things are just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really get anything for them on the next time on. I hope things just continue to go well. They'll be celebrating 1 month together. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're awesome.
I know they are.
Anything else on them?
I don't think so. I mean, she still is doing her little like cutesy baby voice with him. Like, yeah. I just think they always seem to be in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ratings wise,
yeah,
they're at the five that they're always at.
Yes, they have been at a consistent five every time we've rated them. And that just shows how great they're doing, because even through the little issues that have come up along the way, they always resolve it so maturely. They talk through their issues. Things happen and then their apologies occur. And they just handle it so maturely. They're being so open. They're both in this because they truly want a committed relationship. And they're just the one saving grace on this season. Because it very well could be a situation where they're the only ones to stay together and everyone else gets divorced. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not the case. But I just think like, yeah, I think they're such a solid five because at this point, I think there's no way that they're getting a divorce. Like they're exactly, if not more, what the other was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, I love that. And then there's also a new show coming up, the Married at First Sight Unmatchables.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to see that ad. So,
yeah.
What are you thinking? I didn't get to see it.
Yeah. So the gist of it is I think it premieres April 17th, if I'm not mistaken. It's definitely in April. So it's coming up. So it seems like it may be premiering alongside either this season is still airing, so maybe like Couples Cam will be done and it'll take that spot. But the experts are basically helping individuals who are not good catches or they're not in a position to be matched with someone, and they're helping like basically give them like a makeover, give them tips. So it doesn't seem like a matching show. Like it doesn't seem like they're going to take a single and match them up with someone. It seems like they're helping someone become dateable.
Okay.
Which is interesting. It seems like a lot more involvement from the experts for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than we're seeing.
Because I didn't stick with that one show they had, Honeymoon Island or whatever, where they had Dr. Jessica and Pastor Cal, and mm-hmm. so they brought people who are kind of early on in the. Because we used to see more of the matchmaking process for people that didn't, you know, they used to say like maybe this person for this person or maybe this one. We'd see like more like of their decision making. So we'd kind of get to know other people.
Yeah.
And we'd see home visits from those people. But
right now
they kind of just hone in on the couples that they will actually select.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of would miss the matchmaking aspect, though, I think. Like, I think I would want them, or maybe their goal is to be like, oh, you'll be cast in a future season or something. Like.
Right. Well, this is what the synopsis says. It's like it will feature 16 unmatched Married at First Sight applicants getting makeovers, receiving relationship advice from the experts, which are just Pastor Cal and Dr. Viviana, going on dates and trying to find a committed partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be people they've already interviewed to be on previous Married at First Sight seasons and make them fit to be dated. So maybe they'll find a committed partner during the season. Maybe not. But I think that's a lot of people to feature to, you know, 16 individuals. We're not following like 8 couples. We're following 16 individuals. So I wonder if we'll really get to know them or if it's just going to be like a funny like hit and miss type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's coming up soon. So something to take a look at. I would say my favorite like Married at First Sight spinoff was Second Chances. I thought that was a good one with, it was with Vanessa from the last Atlanta season. And Vanessa and David. So they each dated a group of guys and then picked a winner. They both didn't end up with the people they picked.
I like that one, even though David was a hot mess. But
yeah.
I did like that show because it was basically Bachelor Bachelorette.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just in a very condensed. I was like, yeah, they could totally do this on a new spinoff of like the Bachelor franchise. But yeah, that is all we have for you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. You can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I am currently providing Big Brother Canada coverage here and there. So I'll be, you know, hopping in on the live feed updates. I joined Melissa and Taryn on the roundtable last week. So for the first round table of the season. So yeah, if you have any interest in Big Brother and you haven't started Big Brother Canada, definitely catch up because it is a great season. I am thoroughly entertained by the feeds. They've been some of the best feeds we've seen in years. And the show itself is really good. So it's shaping up for a really good season. So I have very high hopes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not caught up, but yeah. It's nice to know that. It's still a good binge option.
Yes. It's so good. Then I also joined Rob and Grace on so Rob is ranking the 40 seasons of Survivor. And so I joined him to talk about the 31st best season of Survivor, which is Survivor Game Changers. So you could definitely go check that out on Rob Has a Podcast. Amy, where can people find you?
They can find me at RHAP Recapper on Twitter. And we just wrapped up covering The Bachelor on The Bachelor Wrap Up. But we will be covering the upcoming season of Bachelorette and if there's a Bachelor in Paradise. So stay tuned for that.
Yes. Are you excited about the two Bachelorettes?
I am because I would have been really upset if Michelle didn't get a chance at something because I just, yeah. She is my favorite. So yes. I think it's great that they didn't make her like quit teaching again and miss her students at the end of the year. So,
mm-hmm.
And that they didn't make the two women like compete against each other for a spot. So
yes, I'm so glad they didn't do that. Yeah. I'm like, if you look at like Tayshia's dates compared to the dates that Matt got, like, okay, obviously the budget is a lot lower for Bachelorette, so they can afford to do two. So I'm glad they just went ahead and did that. And I wonder if like Bachelor in Paradise is going to have any of Katie's guys or how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting. I'm just glad we're getting a lot of Bachelor, Bachelorette content this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So yes, everyone, thank you so much for sticking with us. We will be back in 2 weeks to talk about episodes 11 and 12. I am excited to announce, because I have been able to confirm it, that Mari will be joining us. Dude Talk
News. Yes. Breaking news.
Yes. Breaking news. Breaking news. Yes. So Mari will be joining us to talk about those two episodes. So it should be a lot of fun. And yeah, so we will talk to you guys then. Definitely tweet at us and let us know what you're thinking about this season. And if you have any questions that you want us to talk about on the next episode. But until then, we will see you next time.